Hello and welcome to the Europolitics podcast, RTE's original political podcast for our end of year look back at what happened and to try and make some kind of prediction about the future. I'm joined by Fiacra Ocioni and Juliet Gash. Fiacra, where are we at, do you think, in terms of government formation?
Well, where we're at is, you know, the first stage of the touching gloves part, I guess, is just about over, and thankfully just about over. And maybe we're beginning to get away from the shadow boxing that's been going on into the real deal. So as you've been reporting today on our news programmes, it's really kind of looking like the regional independence group is going to be the most likely coalition partner for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael. That's all really going to kick off in earnest early next week with Michael Lowry leading a number of his colleagues in for conversations before the dáil comes back. Now, Labour and the Social Democrats, they are still officially in talks mode. They're both still open to talks. But I think the possibility of them going into coalition is maybe beginning to dissipate.
It's kind of curious, isn't it, Juliet, that the Social Democrats are going to stay there involved, and I suppose Labour probably would have to then as well, it would
Indeed,
seem.
Indeed, yeah. I mean, you don't want to get off the Ferris wheel too soon. But I guess, you know, the statement today from the Soc Dems saying that, you know, they've had positive and constructive talks with a good exchange of views, but that next year talks are going to become more focused. I mean, you would have thought that was, this week was really the opportunity to have that level of focus. But they still say they're interested in government. It's hard to see at this point. I think everyone's focus is now switching to the group of independents, who, certainly with me anyway, have gotten a little more coy and quiet this week as the week has gone on, which would suggest as well that the machinations are, you know, the gears are grinding. But it will be interesting. Obviously, the Soc Dems have their red lines, have their shopping list of things they want. But whether the focus is elsewhere now, it looks to be the case.
Yeah, it does look that way, doesn't it? And I mean, there was maybe a preference at the very beginning of the night, kind of when the results were coming in, for a party. It's the idea that a party would be disciplined, that there would be a whip there. But that doesn't really ever have seemed to have got going, has it, in any negotiation between Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael?
Not to a huge extent. And you're absolutely right. You know, 2 weeks ago, or just about 2 weeks ago that weekend for the general election, Kent, particularly when you saw Labour in particular as results, but also the Social Democrats, there was a lot of talk from both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael about, you know, maybe it wouldn't be a bad idea to go in with a party, maybe more stable, et cetera, et cetera. The other way of looking at it is that maybe for the two biggest parties, that a smaller party as itself is easier to control. And there would have been maybe memories of the 2016 to 2020 government, which had a number of independents from the Independent Alliance in, and that maybe wasn't as controllable as maybe maybe the impression had been given. But it has
It did go the distance.
It did just about go to distance, only 3 months short of a full term. But there was a lot of ructions during that term, as I think all parties would admit on that. But as you were saying, honest, that look at. In the immediate aftermath of the election, there was some talk or some focus on Labour and the Social Democrats. That is moving really to the regional independent group now. And Juliet is right that, you know, a number of those new TDs and ongoing TDs in that group who maybe wouldn't be shy of a microphone, they have gotten a little bit shyer in the past few days, which would indicate that either talks are going on behind the scenes or that they're aware that they need to be careful of what they say.
They're holding their powder dry, it feels like.
You know? And there's a particular focus, isn't there, on Verona Murphy.
Absolutely.
And whether or not she is elected as the first woman, Ceann Comhairle, next Wednesday. Now, it's seen as the opening play, really, in the negotiation between the independents and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael, but yet it's a secret ballot, so no one can really be sure how this is all going to unfold.
No, and I mean, they've made the point that it would be a historic moment to have the first female Ceann Comhairle. She is an eminently capable woman. She certainly keeps, TDs on a short leash. Whether some people might think that may not be preferable to the existing Ceann Comhairle, Seán Ó Fíorchaoil, who would like to continue on for a period anyway, remains to be seen. But it is interesting that is one of their sort of opening gambits. It certainly will make next Wednesday even more intriguing for that reason. Of course, there's the excitement of the day and lots of new TDs, lots of new faces, first-time TDs too, younger TDs. All of that will be exciting, but maybe in something that would have previously been a bit of a pro forma, you know, electing a Ceann Comhairle, this will certainly bring intrigue.
This is a tricky one for Fianna Fáil, isn't it, Fiacra? Because, like, you had fair degree of anger among its ranks that Seán Ó Fíorchaoil kind of changed his mind about stepping back to the backbenches, and in the interest of what he called continuity and stability, said he felt he had to put his name forward again. People like Michael Moynihan Brendan Smith, John McGuinness, all seen as people who will be interested in the role. And now on top of that, you seem to have this building consensus that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael should give the nod to Verona Murphy if they want to stitch this government together.
Yeah, it's exactly that. There's a couple of competing interests. So firstly, Seán Fáil, the outgoing Ciarán Cóirle, you know, as you said, that he used the phrase stability and need for stability. Other people may say that's his personal stability in a role that he's had for a number of years and might like to keep for a few more years because it's a stable role.
Although he did say that he'd only stay for a certain period and wouldn't go the full distance.
He said at this stage that he wouldn't go the full distance. Let's see what happens in the future.
His constituency colleague Martin Hayden was saying it was quite difficult having a Ciarán Cóirle in your constituency because it made it all the harder to get a seat. So there's one person who might be like, move along.
Exactly. In terms of his scenario and in terms of the constituency scenario, in terms of Fianna Fáil, you're absolutely right in terms of some consternation or some disagreement. There's other people that have their eyes on that particular seat.
They'll probably have to do something when the parliamentary party thing is going to meet.
They'll probably have to find a combined or, you know, an agreed candidate to go forward. And there's a pure politics reason for it, that if you have a number of people putting their names forward, that could skew the vote for them and it could potentially allow a rival from a rival party, potentially someone from Sinn Féin.
Yeah, Sinn Féin have confirmed this afternoon Angus they will put a candidate forward. Not saying it's Angus O'Snodic yet, but that he would be the people who many expect to go forward.
Exactly, and it could lead to a scenario where Sinn Féin unexpectedly could get that particular role. Now, that is something that Fianna Fáil, I'm sure, will try and resolve in the next few days. And obviously the regional independents will be looking to press home their advantage on that to say, look, if you want us to go into government, you're going to have to potentially ask your members to support Verona Murphy.
Yeah, that will be a difficult one, I think, for many in Fianna Fáil. And of course, we have seen more, I think, in relation to the last Ciarán Cóirle in the past, where people who are tipped to get it don't get it because it is the PRSDV system. Mm. So this could go anyway, Juliet, really.
Yeah, I guess. I wonder, is it a deal breaker for all the members of the regional independent group? Do you know what I mean? Because they'll each have their own demands. They'll each have their own red lines. You can't have nine red lines. So is it a red line for her? Is it a red line for half of them? It'll be interesting to see.
It would be a dangerous deal breaker, though, wouldn't it, given the private ballot?
Absolutely. And you'd think that there's, I mean, what was it that Boxer Moran said? Better to have one day in government than 100 days in opposition. There are people there who have been in government who want to be back in government. And maybe one position for one member of their grouping doesn't really make that much of a difference to them.
Of course, if Verona Murphy didn't get it, Verona Murphy would be one of the people who then probably would want some ministerial office. You know, she's a high-profile TD, and the people that are being spoken about at the moment are Sean Canny, Marion Harkin, and I believe Noel Grealish as kind of the contenders for those jobs.
Mm. So there's a knock-on effect. So say if in the particular scenario that Verona Murphy doesn't get the role that she's looking for, you're right, she will probably need to get a win out of it, and that could mean pushing out a current colleague in the regional independents who is being talked about one of those potential cabinet or junior minister roles. So that's going to be an extra complication. And Juliet, you're right in saying that you know, you can't have nine separate red lines. Something's got to give. At the moment, Verona's at the front of the queue. She'll probably want to stay at the front of the queue, or else she could find herself maybe being less of a red line maybe for the independents in the talks.
Yeah, and I mean, do you think there's any possibility outside of the regional independents where some other independent, whether it's the Healy Rays or anyone else, could give some kind of support to this government? Is that a possibility at all?
Well, it's always a possibility. Michael Healy Ray, of course, he's been very open in the past few days, and I think he's always open to say, look, his phone is always on.
Michael Collins' phone too, yeah.
Matthew McGrath said he's two phones.
Matthew McGrath said he has two phones, but Matthew McGrath's an interesting one at the moment. And Matthew McGrath, high-profile independent, but currently he's maybe himself alone to a degree. He's not really in any of the particular groups at the moment. So he's going to have to make a decision on what he does.
That's emerged, hasn't it, in the kind of realignment of the different groups in the Dáil?
Absolutely. Like, Matthew McGrath is one of the more high-profile TDs and has been for a long time for a number of Dáil terms. You know, maybe some people might see him possibly as maybe having the best fit maybe in independent Ireland. We don't know. He's certainly not at the moment going towards the regional independence group, and himself at the moment is one of the few high profile independents who could be potentially backing up government. who's by himself in it. So he'll have to make a decision. Does he try and cut a deal himself?
Really
no speaking rights. So does he go in with a group? Does he go in with a technical group? Does he just try and cut a deal himself? That's going to be questions that Matty McGrath and potentially people potentially on the other side of any table may need to ask as well.
And it is interesting that you do have a technical group now that has Paul Gogarty and Independent Ireland and the Healy Rays. That wasn't a composition that would have been obvious at the outset.
No, it seems, I guess, an unexpected mix. Certainly the Healy Rays and Independent Ireland looked a bit more of a logical fit. So that again begs the question, again, you would have thought that Matty McGrath was that logical fit. But obviously there's conversations happening that we aren't party to where these numbers make sense and these alliances make sense. And that was one of the more curious ones.
What you're seeing really is the end of the kind of rural group, isn't it, Fiacre? Mm-hmm. Mm. Which is a surprise, because Matty McGrath, if there was any leader there, would have seemed to be the one who was coordinating that group.
Yeah, like there have been a lot of independent groups over the past few years with various different names, from Independent Alliance, previous regional group, to a regional group now, to the rural group. There's been lots of them around the place. The rural independents were quite a significant independent group in the last all, but they've sort of been picked off a bit. And they've sort of, again, like the independents will look after their own priorities and their constituents' priorities. And Matty, at the moment, has been maybe left out of the changes that have been taking place.
Yeah, and I suppose if you look at those groups, like, are they really centrally just about getting speaking time and getting places on committees more than anything else?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, obviously you have to have some common ground, but as you pointed out, you know, Paul Gogarty was a member of the Green Party and he's now allying himself to people who would be seen as perhaps on the other side of the climate change debate. So it does seem to be more a tactical rather than an emotional or spiritual connection, yeah. You know, that certainly it is the case that it can be a lonely place on the back benches if you're a solo member, you know.
And speaking of, this is a neat link now. Owen Hayes, elected a Social Democrat, but there he sits now in political purgatory on the back benches, and no obvious shot of redemption for him either, is there?
Political purgatory it is. And I was actually at this press briefing on the Leinster Heritage Plinth on Tuesday, which Craig Hughes of the Irish Daily Mail deserves a lot of credit for firstly getting the story about Owen Hayes and his shares, and secondly for pressing home, not just once, not just twice, but somewhere in the region of 21 times during that 26-minute press conference, asking Owen Hayes repeatedly, when did he sell his shares? Owen Hayes, of course, said at the time that, look, he sold his shares before he entered electoral politics.
In a certain type of company.
Yeah, in a company called Palantir, which is basically a software, an IT company, which after Owen Hayes left 7 years ago, has since one of its clients is now the Israeli Defence Forces. So when Owen Hayes left, he had 7,000 shares, which he sold in July of this year for €199,000. Now, that's just a pure business point of view. But during that press conference, Owen Hayes repeatedly said he sold those shares, he divested those shares before he entered electoral politics. Turns out he did not, because he was elected as a local councillor in June. Yeah. So 1 month later, he got rid of them. And it's caused really a dilemma for the Social Democrats, that some people might look at this issue and say, look, is it really that big an issue? But the Social Democrats, firstly, they have been one of the parties that have really highlighted the issues and what is going on in the Middle East and in Gaza. Mm. And then secondly, the Social Democrats, since they were formed almost a decade ago, they're seen as a party of transparency, a party that an anti-corruption party, that sort of stuff. So maybe this sort of issue, they're held to a higher standard maybe than other parties.
How do you think they've handled it, Julia?
I suppose the awkward point is that it did look like they were standing, you know, shoulder to shoulder with their man, but that they maybe didn't actually know the answer that he wasn't giving. So it's messy because they should have known the information. It really does appear they didn't know the information. They've said they were more than embarrassed and upset about this, the fact that they didn't know. But that's problematic too, because they should have known. And that's a question that they probably should have asked of Owen Hayes. I think his links to Palantir had previously been raised. Obviously, you know, we all have jobs in our past that maybe now it might look problematic to others. But the thing is that while the company link had been established previously, the timing of his disposal of the shares is very difficult when you had, you know, Holly Cairns repeatedly and very in a very careful and targeted manner spoke about the atrocities happening in Gaza, and that one of her party members could be said to have profited in some way from a company that profited from this. So that's the difficulty.
Yeah.
And again, the timing. He was a public representative. He didn't dispose of the shares before he came a public representative.
Absolutely. And I suppose in a wider context, it also, it is a very good reminder for a lot of the new TDs who are coming into the Dáil about how quickly a problem can emerge. I mean, this has to be, you know, if you leave aside, you know, even any personal or human sympathy for anyone in that scenario, it has to be some kind of record for a TD to be suspended from a party before the Dáil has even sat as a new TD. And this is a scenario, Owen Hayes, in a matter of days that it came up and affected him. It is an issue that there is still an open question on, will the Sock Dems eventually bring him back? How long will his suspension last? It's an open question at the moment. The Social Democrats Deputy Leader, Cian O'Callaghan, when he came out of government formation talks yesterday, he wasn't really talking about government formation talks for long until this question came up, and he was asked what's going to happen next. He said, look, the issue is going to go to the Social Democrats National Council. They're going to discuss what happens next. There may be a full review, but this sounds like something that's going to take a matter of weeks or months rather than a matter of days.
You do sort of have to wonder, though, there have been, and I'm not going to name individual TDs, but there have been other TDs who have made mistakes, have made serious mistakes, and have been welcomed back into the fold. So are, you know, the Social Democrats held to a different standard than others? That is a question. But when you sell yourself as a party of transparency and honesty and high morals and high values, then maybe you
have
to
hold yourself.
Is there
any scope for political forgiveness, I suppose, is there?
That's the difficulty. At this moment, it looks like not, but I think that greater crimes have been committed and been forgiven.
And just before we go, Fiacra, how do you think, if you were to sketch out how the next few weeks are going to go, where are we going to be in this, at this point, 4 or 5 weeks from now?
Well, I think at this point, 4 or 5 weeks from now, if you're a betting person, you'd probably say a Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and Independence coalition. You may see...
To be in place at some point
to be in
January.
Place, to be in place maybe late January, maybe even early February. I don't think we're going to have...
Do you give any credence to this mad theory that everything is actually working furiously behind the scenes and it'll all be ready for next Wednesday?
Well, you never know. Hope springs eternal, but I would somehow doubt that by next Wednesday we will be saying a new government has been formed.
How do you think it'll go, Julia?
Yeah, no, I think this idea of the you know, January 20th being a bit of a deadline, Trump's inauguration, etc. I think people have that in the back of their minds for sure. But yeah, certainly I don't see anything happening on Wednesday. I mean, that would be too quick. And one has to give the appearance of really, really, you know, getting down to the wire and getting the job done and asking all the questions. And
Micheál Martin likes to contemplate things. So if there is a text of a new programme for government, I think that they would ponder over that for some time.
In fairness, people deserve a break too, you know. Mm.
And that's a good point to go. So we'll take a break for now. That's it from Your Politics. Until we talk to you again, take care.